There it lay below him, Pavlov City, stretching off in every direction. Building after building, a maze of barracks in ever-larger concentric circles spreading out across the plains below. And at the outer edge of the largest circle of buildings, trucks, bulldozers, and workers building yet more structures. Roxen looked down from one of a group of low hills surrounding the plains on which Pavlov City stood. He took in the immensity of it. Whoever was building this city of sinister design had plans for it to be truly gargantuan. Sitting atop Snorter, Rock looked down for a long, long time, letting his senses digest it all. He had seen many Red Fortress cities before, but never one as large as this. Already it stretched nearly 3 miles across, absolutely crammed with buildings. Most of the structures were fairly low to the ground, not more than 2 or 3 stories high. They were built in barracks-type designs, the favorite of the imaginative Russian designers and architects. In the center of the city, dwarfing everything else, was a concrete windowless building some 40 stories high and nearly 500 feet in diameter. Just from the looks of it, Roxen knew it was where the Reds were performing their tricks. Through his field glasses, Rock could see truckloads of men driving up to the front entrance and unloading their cargoes of American prisoners.
Good luck, boy. I'm gonna tether you here. If we're lucky, we'll meet again and make our way back to Century City. If I don't come back, you'll be able to break free from these small branches easily enough.
He patted the Brit on the nose and set off down the steep slopes toward Pavlov City and his destiny. The Palomino stared after its master for a long time and then lowered its head, searching for the tastiest clumps of mottled green and brown grass. Rock took the supplies he had brought with him for his entrance to the Red Fortress out of his small pack, a disguise. He would need it here. His face and name were posted up in every post office and jail in America. Ted Roxen, wanted dead or alive, 50,000 ruble reward to the man, Russian or American, who brought him in. Rock put a gray dye in his hair and then a thick gray mustache on. Rath's special services people had given him the stuff along with some other tricks of the trade he might need inside. Satisfied with his masquerade after looking in a small metal mirror, Rock threw the pack over his shoulder and headed down the hill. He hoped that at least a small American community had sprung up on the outskirts of the city. The Reds usually paid no attention to the towns that grew around every fort, no more attention to the filthiest, lowest levels of society than they would give to a mosquito. Besides, somebody had to carry the garbage out to the dumps and perform menial tasks. He would make his way into the city as one of those untouchables that now roamed America like the hobos of old. He got to the bottom of the range of hills and started along some fairly swampy land, the dirt soft and squishy beneath his feet, reeds growing high as corn. He moved cautiously, as these kinds of terrain sometimes had quicksand pits, which could pull an animal or a man down in minutes. Roxen had a good 5 miles to go before reaching the gates of the fortress. He would enter at night. He had gone about a mile when he saw something sticking out of the swampy ground just ahead.
What? It couldn't be.
He moved closer.
Jesus Christ!
A body lay half-submerged in the muck, just feet and legs poking out from the ground, the upper half of the corpse buried beneath the sucking black dirt.
Must have gotten caught, poor devil. But upside down? Did the guy take a running dive?
He moved on slowly, cautiously. Anything out of the ordinary in America 2089 AD could mean trouble or death. He pushed his way through a thick clump of high green reeds and emerged into the open.
My God.
Ted Roxen had seen just about everything in his life, but even he, as tough as he was, felt himself grow nauseous at the sight before him. Bodies. Bodies everywhere. Strewn around the swamp like so much garbage. Bodies half-submerged in the thick, foul-smelling mud, buried halfway, heads, hands, feet sticking out like grotesque growths on the soil. He moved his hand down to his pistol instinctively, now hidden beneath an oversized khaki shirt. There were hundreds, perhaps thousands, of the rotting corpses. Probably all American workers, stripped clean of any bit of clothing. The bodies were in every stage of decay, from skeletons picked clean as desert bones to foul-smelling, decomposing corpses, ballooned out with the gases of their own rotting bodies. All of the bodies had tiny holes at the top of the brain casing.
The Mindbreaker.
Roxanne walked on, amazed at the extent of the death. A graveyard above ground, and a testament to the nature of the Red Beast. He wished every softliner from Century City could see this sight. Their own puking guts would force them to change their tunes of accommodation. It was all too obvious to anyone who would dare to look. The Russian forces of occupation wanted one thing and one thing only. Complete domination and control of every American citizen. The sight of so much terrible suffering and wasted life made Roxanne realize again with crystal clarity just why he was fighting and just how deep his enemy's evil went. The swamp went on for nearly 2 miles, every foot of it crammed full of the human garbage. Finally, he came to the end of it, demarcated by a long barbed wire fence. He had to dart suddenly to the surrounding weeds as a red truck drove up and unloaded yet another delivery of death. Another 100 corpses, their faces frozen in the most agonizing death masks, lips spread apart, jaws cracked wide open as they must have literally screamed themselves into oblivion. Trailing behind the truck, Roxanne found himself on a narrow dirt road that led to the city. He went on about another mile out of the swampy terrain and onto flat, parched fields, one well-worn dirt road through the middle which widened slowly as it approached the city. Already the ever-present shanty towns that sprung up around Red Forts began appearing at the side of the road. Just a few little shacks at first, lean-tos of gnarled branches topped with rusted pieces of tin and cardboard. Then, more and more, until the sides of the road and the flat dry ground beyond was filled with the poverty shacks. The dredges of society stood around outside their hovels, clothed in rags. They stared at Rock, seeming to take too much notice of him. He looked down at his clothing. What had seemed back in Century City like torn garments, hardly distinguishable from any other untouchable, now appeared to be a rich man's apparel compared with the shredded rags that the hordes were wearing along the sides of the road. He was already standing out.
Oh, damn it.
Roxanne walked off the road over to a group of men playing checkers on the ground, having gouged the board into the dirt with twigs and using light and dark pebbles for pieces.
Anyone want to trade clothes with me?
And who'd you be, mister, wanting to trade? Maybe you got some riches in that there satchel of yours.
I'm not looking for trouble, mister, and I'd advise you not to start any. I just want to trade these clothes for yours.
Okay, maybe then I'll just take them. God, you broke my hand! You broke my goddamn hand!
Holy shit! I'll go for the deal, mister.
The man eyed Roxanne's pants and jacket with greedy eyes. He had never had a set of clothes like that in his life. A little dirty, but not even one hole. He'd be the envy of the Shacklands. They went behind a hut and exchanged garments. Rock could feel the bugs crawling around the lining of the man's ripped and filthy shirt, but sacrifices had to be made.
This is perfect. Thanks.
No, thank you.
Roxanne headed back down the road toward the fort. The newly clothed untouchable paraded around in front of his neighbors, who jealously eyed his new appearance. Blue jeans without a hole, a light blue work shirt with just a few threads showing, and an amazingly perfect khaki jacket. The man kept his hand on a long ice pick inside the inner pocket of the jacket. He would kill to protect his new acquisitions. In the camp of the poorest, he was suddenly a man of means. Roxanne headed toward the fort, which grew closer and bigger by the minute. The outer walls that formed the defensive perimeter were nearly 40 feet high, concrete 2 feet thick with barbed wire running along the top. He walked up to the main entrance, manned on every side by submachine gun-toting guards. They eyed him without really taking much notice. Just one of the many untouchables who came and went. Rock passed the first defensive perimeter with a big lump in his throat as he walked into the enemy's camp. If any of these soldiers knew who he was...
Stop!
Yes, sir.
Where are you going, scum?
Garbage detail, sir.
Right. Get on, then.
Rock headed down the long open streets of Pavlov City, head bowed down, as were the heads of all the imprisoned Americans. For even looking straight into the eyes of a red soldier could mean death. But he saw everything from the corner of his eyes. Saw the work crews marching. The lines of prisoners being taken to the brainwashing center. Roxon blended in easily with the other untouchables, who walked around pushing wheelbarrows filled with waste. No one noticed the most wanted man in America. They were too busy building their wretched city. Roxon walked around for what seemed like miles, taking mental notes on every structure, on the troop quarters and munitions dumps. They must be building the place day and night. Zhabnov must have been pouring every ruble he could lay his filthy hands on into the city. But what confused Rock was the ubiquitous presence of KGB officers. As far as the free fighters knew, Zhabnov and Kilov were locked in a vicious power struggle. It would be unheard of for the KGB and the army to be working together. But if that sight shocked him, Roxon nearly did a double take as he rounded the next corner and saw a squad of about 100 men wearing a type of Russian uniform he had never seen before. It was darker than the usual and had an American flag patch with a rifle through the center. They marched by in double time, and Rock knew instantly what they were. Americans. Americans in Russian uniforms. A sight that made him want to vomit. Suddenly, the endless low buildings gave way to a large exercise and marching field, where thousands of soldiers were going through every kind of battle exercise, obstacle courses, firing ranges, march drills. The trainers were all Russian, but the troops were Americans. Every last one of them. Totally unnoticed, Roxon took in the bizarre sight of Americans training to be Russians. Then he saw their eyes when he got close enough. The eyes of the Americans. And it made him shudder. It was the eyes of the dead. Their bodies were still functioning, but their eyes stared straight ahead. Rock remembered reading about a creature from the past history of America. They had had a name for men like this. Zombies. So the captured soldier was telling the truth. And by the looks of it, they were turning them out by the thousands. Roxon felt his entire being tremble. He vowed at that moment to destroy the entire city. Somehow, some way, he would stop this hideous experiment from being carried out to fruition. He made a complete recon of the city, totally unnoticed by the overconfident red troops, as he pretended to pick up little bits of paper. As the night moved on, Rock hid near the large concrete building in the center of the fortress, inside a garbage dumpster filled with construction waste, bits of wood, sawdust, rusting buckets filled with hardened concrete. The dumpster was about 200 feet from the barbed wire fences surrounding the 40-story building. Guards patrolled it in groups of five, SMGs cradled in their arms.